This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Here is a real-life love story that led Bernard Cornwell to become one of the most prolific historical novelists ever. He was a British TV journalist 25 years ago when he met an American travel agent touring Northern Ireland. He saw her getting off an elevator, turned to a friend, and said he would marry that woman. He did. But back in the U.S., he had a problem. No work permit, no job, no money. So he thought he'd try writing a book. It sold and led to another, another, more, and more. He is now a best-selling writer, number one in Britain and Canada, high on the list in this country, where his series, set during the Napoleonic era, the American Civil War, and the days of King Arthur, have led the critics to call him the heir to the late beloved Patrick O'Brien, who set his stories on board British naval ships sailing about 200 years ago. This week, Bernard Cornwell introduces a new series with The Last Kingdom, the story of the man who saved England in the 8th and 9th centuries when it was nearly overrun, and that was King Alfred.
In the history of certainly of Europe and certainly in the history of Britain, it's an incredibly important moment because in Alfred the Great's reign, two things happen. The first is that English society and culture, and indeed the English language, almost vanishes. And somehow they pull it back from the brink, and by the time his grandson is on the throne, there is for the first time a political entity called England. Before that, it didn't exist.
I hadn't realized that this is the moment for England and the English, and that the threat to England was the Danes, people who I think we would think of as Vikings, but as you explain in the text of this novel, they aren't quite Vikings, are they?
Yeah, and it's boringly pedantic of me, isn't it? The people who invaded Britain were invaders. They didn't come as Vikings. They weren't raiding and going away. They were coming to stay. They were settling the country. And they were very, very successful in the Last Kingdom. It tells how they took three of the four English or the Saxon kingdoms. And still to this day in England, I mean, all of the north and east of the country has got Danish place names. Anywhere that ends with the letters BY is settled by the Danes, whereas the south and the west don't have those names. And of course, they had a huge influence on the language, the fact that we talk about he and she we owe to the Danes. So yes, they're Vikings. They don't have horned helmets. That was terribly disappointing to discover in the research that this was in fact an invention of the 19th century. But they were exceedingly warlike tribes that came to invade and occupy England.
And at least in this first novel in this series, they come awfully close to, indeed, defeating Alfred, and that would be it. That would be the end of England. It would be Denmark writ larger.
I think it would. I think it would have been called Daneland instead. And it did. It got even closer. I've just finished the second book, the follow-up to The Last Kingdom. And in that, really, the English culture society is squeezed down to a few square miles of marshland. And it's the recovery from that low point that is the rest of the story, which will take another several books, I think.
When you say there may be several more books in this series, when you set out to write a series of books like this, and I'll note that you've written several other series. Do you know how many books you're going to write?
No, I don't. I haven't a clue. I sort of have in my head there'll be seven, but I don't know where that figure comes from. I do know where the series will end, which is nice to know. I mean, it's the story of Alfred himself, although he's not the protagonist. He's seen through the eyes of my hero called Uhtred, who is in fact did exist, but we know next to nothing about him. And then Uhtred will live through the life of Alfred and Alfred's son, and also Alfred's daughter, who's one of the great unsung heroines of history. The daughter, whose name was Ethelflaed, she had the title the Lady of Mercia. She fought off the Danes. She led armies. She was one of the great heroines of early England, and she's been completely forgotten. So I want to tell her story, and then the story of Alfred's grandson, who is the king who finally unites England for the first time. So I know how far it will go. I know it will cover something like 60 years of history. But I don't know how many books that's going to take, and I won't know, I guess, till I've sort of several books in and you can see the end coming.
How do you manage all this, writing these different series of historical novels? Your best-known series is the Sharp's Rifles series set in the Napoleonic era. You have another series set in the American Civil War. You have a series about King Arthur. You have other series I don't even know. How do you do all this?
Well, we volunteer for this job, Alex. I mean,
and I'll just note that a critic I've spoken to about your work says Bernard Cornwell is one of those people who can write very gracefully. It just flows. So this is not, it's not just that you're producing a large body of work. It's good writing.
Well, we try. We try. It's fun. I mean, I really mean it when I say I volunteered for this. Nobody put a gun to my head and said, you will leave your job and become a writer. I wasn't dragged screaming and kicking into this. I mean, I wanted to do it. I always had an idea it would be fun to do, and it is fun to do. And of course, I've had a lifelong love of history. I mean, it's strange that I now I've lived in the United States for 25 years. I'm an American citizen, but I still write about Britain. And I think maybe it's what gets sort of shoved into the head in childhood that really affects you for the rest of your life.
How do you learn so much detail about how people lived in the days of Alfred?
Oh, read again. I mean, this is one of the great recycling jobs of the world.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of the fun is the research. And I've been wanting to do these Alfred books for, I suppose, at least 10 years. And so I've been reading about Saxon society for a long time. I mean, even before that.
Do you have a research staff? Do you have people who work for you?
No. I wish I did. Wouldn't it be fun? But the trouble is, if somebody else did the research, then they're going to have to teach you. So you might as well do it yourself in the first place.
Someone who's written in, I read some mail on the website that you have. One of your fans wrote in and said, do you step away from the keyboard to have Christmas dinner, I think? Because one wonders, how can you do so much research and produce, well, how many historical novels have you written?
I think it's 43 at the
43.
Moment. Yes, it is 43. That includes the unpublished one I've just finished.
Ah.
In 25 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you must write every day.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I write every day and get up early. But again, it's fun. I mean, you know, I was a teacher once upon a time, and then I became a journalist for the BBC. And in both of those professions, as I'm sure you know, Alex, they're full of people who say, I wish I was writing novels, or I wish I were writing novels, because they're grammatical. They know it's better than working, and it is better than working. I mean, I get paid to sit every day in Cape Cod and tell stories. And in the morning when you wake up, you think, I wonder what's going to happen today. It's fun. It's really exciting to do.
Bernard Cornwell, thank you for speaking with us on Day to Day.
Alex, thank you very much.
And at our website, more on that love story that got all this started, A Chance Meeting, Life Changes, at daytoday@npr.org.